today as we get ready for the adventure that God has in store for us. Today, I want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. That's a very important number for you. If you are looking at doing any block or concrete work, I know I've got projects around my house that I'm working to try and get to the place where I can have them to come out and take care of some of those projects. And really want that those projects taken care of. So they're really, really good at what they do. All concrete is not created equal. I remember discovering that on a documentary that I watched one time. They were building a bridge, and they used the wrong type of concrete and had to jackhammer all of that concrete out of the forms they had poured that into. And I was like, man, that's got to be a really, really expensive and time-consuming process. You know what's better than having to jackhammer out the wrong concrete? Using the right concrete when it needs to be used. That's the type of expertise you can expect from Jits Concrete. They will put their experience and their great work ethic to work for you on your project. Give them a call, 321-536-5804, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So today we are going to return to the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we are going to begin reading in verse number 11. We didn't get too far yesterday, made a little bit of progress, but we are... what we're talking about here is the truth, seeking the truth, and the spiritual truth that is important in our personal relationships as well as our spiritual relationship. We covered that in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 3, where David says, "But truly as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." And so we had been in Numbers, and we had talked about how God said, as surely as I live, truly as I live, these people are not going to enter the promised land. Truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. A little bit later, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. That was Numbers chapter 14. And verse number 28. Now David tells Jonathan, as truly as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, just as much as you're alive and God is alive, I'm in a very precarious situation. There's just one step between me and death. That step happened to be something that King Saul was trying to make happen in David's life, but his son Jonathan and his son-in-law David were in living life in a covenant with one another, not a marriage covenant. Like I said on yesterday's program, all covenants were not marriages, but biblical marriage is a covenant between a husband and a wife, a man, a woman, and God. That's a biblical covenant right there. So let's begin reading today in verse number 11. And Jonathan said to David, "Come, let us go out into the field." So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan." So Jonathan points out there, I'm expecting that what you've said about my father is not going to be true. "But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety. And the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live that I may die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies." Now Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. So that's where we're going to stop the reading for today. So Jonathan here, we talked a little bit. They've devised a plan. They've devised a strategy. This is how we're going to communicate so that no one is going to suspect that you and I are undermining my father's authority. We're just informing you of what what Saul plans to do to you. He said, I'm expecting that my father is not going to be trying to do damage to his own kingdom by eliminating one of the greatest assets that he has in the kingdom, and that's you, David. Okay? Now, I think it's very important that we remember not to do ourselves spiritual harm. A lot of times we end up attacking the gifts that God has brought into our lives. And I want to recommend a change of course in that action. Christians are not in competition with other Christians. We're in competition with the kingdom of darkness. So let's not be attacking one another. Let's be building one another up. Amen. I'll amen myself on that one. So Jonathan then says, but if I do find out that my father is planning to do you evil, I'm going to report it to you so that you can make it to a safe place. Okay, so that is the context of where we are. We touched a little bit on this verse yesterday at the end of the program, but this is what David said. If my father is planning on doing you harm, may the Lord be with you as he's been with my father. So Jonathan begins to speak to prophesy, to encourage David. Look, David, even if my father is trying to do you harm, you're going to outlast the attack. Everything that Jonathan speaks to David about here is, if my father is trying to kill you, this is what the future looks like for you anyway. Just remember, because the enemy is a thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy, his power will not be able to prevent Jesus' purpose of coming into your life, that you might have life, have it more abundantly, have it to the full, have it in superabundance, have it to overflowing. So if my father's trying to kill you, God be with you. God is still going to be with you. May the presence of God be with you as it was with my father, because if he's trying to kill you, the presence of God is surely not residing in him right now the way that it should be. So he goes on and he says, and you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die. So Jonathan says, when the dust of this settles, when it's all over, this covenant that we made in 1 Samuel chapter 18, may it still continue even after my father's threat is removed, to where you show me the kindness of God so that you do not attack me. Okay, so that's the type of personal covenant that they had. Jonathan had equipped David with armor, with a sword, with wisdom, with a relationship of trust there. And it goes on and it continues in verse number 15. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 15. But you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. So this covenant bond that existed between David and Jonathan was not only a covenant between David and Jonathan and God, but it was a covenant that extended to David's descendants. It extended to Jonathan's descendants. It was a covenant that was supposed to go on in perpetuity. Now, Saul was one who had a history of violating covenants. When David does become king later on, there's a famine in the land. They inquire of God, and they say, what is the cause of this famine? And the answer that comes from God is this: because Saul violated the covenant that was made with the gift by Joshua. Joshua was Moses' successor. So you go all the way back to the book of Joshua, and after the fall of Jericho and after the Ai debacle, then these people come and they establish a covenant with the people of Israel, and they said, look, we come from a long way away. Whenever somebody says that, you need to ask this question: can you define long? And so they came and they made a covenant, and Joshua had died, the Gibeonites who made the covenant had died, but the covenant did not die. And so when Saul lashed out and killed many of the Gibeonites, he didn't kill them all, but he killed a great number of them, and God said, you violated the covenant. And so here's a little bit of good news for you. When you enter into a covenant with Jesus Christ, that covenant is meant to extend to your descendants as well. Now, they're created with a free will, just like Saul was. They can choose to honor it or they can choose to reject it, but God makes the offer that this covenant would extend to your generations, this covenant of blessing, to 1,000 generations. That basically means from forever and forever. So he says, do not cut off your kindness from my house forever. Even after I die, don't forget about this covenant that you've made, because it reaches my kids and it reaches my grandkids. So when David comes to the throne and becomes king, he one day begins to ask, and he says, is there anybody left of the house of Jonathan that I can show kindness to? And there's a lot of sermons that end up being preached, because there was one son that was left, and his name, well, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, listen to this, for Jonathan's sake? 2 Samuel 9:1. And so they call in a servant of Saul's house by the name of Ziba, and he asked him the same question. And Ziba says, in verse number 3, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said, where is he? And he said, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Verse number 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, here is your servant. Now listen to what David says. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will... Let's go back to make sure that we get the vernacular right. Show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, and do not cut off your kindness from my house forever. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 15. Here's what David says in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 7. Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Mephibosheth's response was this: What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And, you know, there he wasn't going to be able to serve to in much capacity. He had physical limitations. When Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle, the nurse picked up Mephibosheth and ran because there was another son of Saul. And remember, I told you on yesterday's program that what they would do is they would eliminate any threat to the kingdom. So Mephibosheth was a threat to this new son's kingdom. And so she ran to save his life, but she fell and he was injured and was not able to walk after that. And David, you know, Mephibosheth looked at himself as a dead dog. David looked at him as a person he was walking in covenant with. Can I tell you, you may not have much of what the world considers natural giftings. You may feel yourself as if you can make no kingdom impact. You might think that God doesn't ever intend to bless you, but I want to remind you that there was a Savior by the name of Jesus who established a covenant between the Heavenly Father and between mankind that said, I will shed my blood. My body will be broken for you, that your body might be made whole and that your sins might be forgiven, because I want this new covenant to exist between you and I. One difference between a covenant and a contract is a contract, people are looking to protect their own interest and they're looking for a way of escape. A covenant is looking out for each other's best interest, and they're looking for a reason for the relationship, the covenant relationship, to continue. So David remembered his covenant with Jonathan to his descendants, and so he showed him kindness. Jonathan aligned himself against all of David's enemies. So listen to what it says. Do not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Okay, so that's 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 15. You've got to remember that that even includes the enemy, the self-declared enemy of David, being Saul. So Jonathan is saying, if my father is trying to kill you, he's going to be cut off. I want you to know that the New Testament said that David did not die until he had fulfilled his purpose in his generations. I want you to realize the protection of God. One of the great things about walking in covenant relationship with God is he wants us to be equipped to successfully represent him as ambassadors in this dark world. And so Jesus came and cut off all of our spiritual enemies, but you may have financial enemies. You may have physical sickness and disease, enemies, things that are trying to do you harm. And here Jonathan said, show kindness to my family because God is going to cut off every one of the enemies of David from off of the face of the earth. What a powerful, powerful promise. And so it says in verse number 16, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. And so I looked up what that meant, and that meant, let the Lord demand it at the hand of David's enemies. If there's somebody that's positioned themselves in hostility against David, I pray that God holds them accountable. He demands it. He has put a no harm declaration over David. Now, I want to ask you this question. Do you think that the covenant between Jonathan and David was a greater covenant or a lesser covenant than the relationship that Jesus has made with us? See, we don't talk too much about covenant anymore in church, but I'm here to tell you that it's not just the Old Testament and the New Testament. Those things are also referred to as the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So there, in the Old Covenant, there were things that God was going to do and there were things that man was supposed to do. But the truth of the matter was that man could never fulfill the requirements of the law. And so Jesus came as God the Son. He came and fulfilled all the law and the prophets to establish a new covenant with us where the requirements of the covenant were fulfilled by God and we were liberated to walk in the blessings, the favor, the provision, the holiness, and the power that God has in store for us. So, they have this reaffirmation of the covenant that they had created in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Here in chapter 20, it is renewed. Verse number 17 says this, "Now Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul." Now, I need you to understand that the Word of God is spiritual and it is spiritually discerned. You need to read the Word of God with your, not just your mind, not just your intellect, but you need to read it with your spirit. And there are a lot of people who have a depraved mind that when they read this passage, they interpret it through their dead spirit. They interpret it through their carnal nature instead of through a regenerated spirit that is empowered by God the Holy Spirit. And they look at this and say, "Oh, well, David and Jonathan, they were in an ungodly relationship." That's not what this means at all. That's not what this means at all. That wasn't the case. This was not an illicit relationship. It was not an immoral relationship. If it was an immoral relationship, you couldn't say, "Let the Lord require it." You couldn't be invoking the name of the Lord while violating all of the principles that God had already set in place that were an abomination to him. God's not going to do anything in that situation. What it means here, Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. Folks, what was taking place in the household of Saul between Jonathan and David was as close to a relationship that should take place in the church as we can find, where it means this: I love God, and because I love God and God loves me, he enables me and empowers me to walk in a covenant relationship with you so that I am just as motivated to see the desires of your life come to pass as I am to see the desires of my life come to pass. Where I am loved by God and I love you with a holy love. You know, the world is always trying to project an ungodly understanding of love on the Word of God. They're constantly trying to do that. whether it's movies that make fun of the birth of Jesus, or whether it's just people who don't want to repent of their sins, and they say, well, this is how I understand it. Well, folks, if your spirit is not alive and you're trying to understand the Word of God, which is alive, you're going to come away with the wrong understanding, the wrong translation. The truth of this relationship was this. Jonathan treated David with respect, with love, gifted him with the things that he would need for him to be successful. I've already told you the story. Jonathan walks out of the camp one day when they're hunting for David to kill him. Jonathan walks right into the camp of David and takes him by the hand and strengthens him in the Lord. He said, David, I want you to walk in the presence of God. I want you to please God. I want you to know that you are loved by God and that I love you as much as I love my own self. And I know that you're going to come out of this thing. You're going to be successful. You're going to be victorious. And when this day is in the rearview mirror, don't forget to show kindness to me. Don't forget to show the love of the Lord to my family. Don't ever forget that it's God that brought you through the difficult seasons. As surely as the Lord lives, and as surely as I live, I'm going to make sure that if your life is threatened, you never stand alone. Whatever you're facing today, understand this. Jesus is there with you. See you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Could you take